How's it going, everybody? This is Ian Walker here with another episode of Rising Legends. We are going to be continuing our campaign of Bay'nor. And this time around, what I would love for you guys to do, if you guys, if this is your first time to the channel, please hit the like, subscribe if you like what's going on here. This week, I'm doing something a little bit different. I am going to be trying out my computer version online way of how I do my solo role play. Okay, the last two videos you guys saw the raw, background, the raw way, top down camera type of deal, where I'm doing my role play. This time I wanted to try something a little bit different. So if you could please help me out in the comments below, let me know if you like the Miro way, which I'm going to show you guys in a minute. I made a video which you guys can check out. The Miro setup that I have in order to do my solo play campaigns online over the computer. And I'm gonna run that campaign today. If you like that and you want me to continue with that, go ahead and leave a comment below. If you don't like that and you want me to go back to the top down, you don't want to see my face or anything else like that, you just want to see the gameplay and the mechanics, also leave a comment below. That information is going to help a lot as far as me moving forward with this channel and the things that I'm going to do, the content I put out, and the things that I do for you guys. If you guys have any other suggestions too that you want me to do as well, please let me know in the comments below as well. But right now, I'm going to switch over and share my screen here. And we're going to go over to the board here. Okay. So this is the board for my role-playing game here that is on Miro. Again, this is a free trial type business situation. So it's nice because everything is right here. All right. So again, if you haven't watched the video, I'll just give a quick overview of what's going on here. Right here on the right is the custom map that I created for the campaign that I'm running here in Rising Legends. And then this is taking place on the Battle Island of Megiddo, small town here. Here's the character sheet that I have of Bay'nor, who is right now level one. We're going to actually do some leveling up today. So Bay'nor is going to hit level two. And so I've got the character of Bay'nor here, what he looks like. I have my session log information that I'll type in here. And then I have my tokens here, whether it be a full body or just a headshot. And then the map that I'm using for that here. So this here is the map that I used last time with the situation that was going on with the senator, or not the senator, but the mayor who has escaped and went out looking for whatever it was that she was going through. And also here we have our dice roller, which is really cool. Again, you want to check out the video to show how to input that. As you can see here, I got the dice tray here. So I'm going to input the D100 here, and it's going to give us the results here, the 49%, stuff like that. When I need to do a check or something like that, I'll throw that dice and it pops up here on the screen. So everything that I do here, I'm gonna bring it on here. You're gonna see everything right here on the screen. So again, please pardon me if I'm, fumbling the words. I'm just kind of recording this extemporaneously as we go on with this campaign. So we're gonna continue forward here. And what I'll do is I'm going to I keep forgetting about the musics. Keep forgetting about the music. We're gonna put on a little bit of music, some RPG vibes, if you will. Okay, get that moving, and then we'll start get started with our role play today with Bay'nor. Again, I appreciate you guys' patience. I'm kind of getting everything together, if you will. So please bear with me. I appreciate you. I know there's probably still gonna be something that's gonna go right away from the video. Like he ain't getting to it fast enough. I understand. I will work on that. It'll get better. I promise you. So last we left the adventure of Bay'nor the warrior here. Bay'nor had gone to a local tavern to try to get some information as far as the whereabouts of where our hero or where our mayor last what Mayor Ellison had ran away from town while Baynor was recovering from his injuries. And in order to figure out what was going on, Cayman and Glinda, who were the neighbors of the mayor, took care of Baynor and his stuff like that, and they gave him a lead as far as who he needs to go see. The mayor's daughter was kept with Nula, who was the daycare provider there and is also watching Erica until Mayor Arlison gets back. And Baynor went to a local tavern in town to try to find someone who could give him some information regarding what may have happened, or give him some kind of lead of as to where she is going. And Baynor met Dallas Ford. He was the former mayor of the town, who kind of had a little bit of a grudge, a little bit of a vendetta against Mayor Arlison, as we found out that Mayor Arlison was elected by the people in the first ever election that was done in town. And he lost that election. So he's a little bit bitter, but some other information was revealed that he kind of told her that, this is, she's in over her head. Okay. And the trinket that she has is something that all the mayors in the past were just told to guard, but Mayor Arlison asked a lot of questions. And so that trinket might have something to do with some things that she's kind of wanting to find out, which is why she's gone. And now Baynor, being responsible for the life of Mayor Arlison, is trying to track her down. And Mr. Ford here has told her, or told him, that he, if he protects her, is going to be in over his head as well. He leaves, leaving Mr. Ford with a beer, or like a beer, kind of giving him his well wishes, I guess, and he is on his way out. Okay. So, what we're going to do now is Baynor is going to now leaves the town. Does that, if you see here, really quick, right here is my new question oracle. My yes, no oracle has been adjusted for Rising Legends for solo play. A lot of the things there will be better handled here. A lot of the roles and decisions, something that makes a little bit more sense for you guys, for everyone here, okay? So the first thing that we're going to do before we move on is we're going to go ahead and do some leveling up, okay? So here in Rising Legends, in order to level up, we are going to do a few things here. All right. So Baynor now is at level 2. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go here and adjust that to 2 on the character sheet here. All right. And as far as leveling is concerned, there are certain aspects and certain new abilities that you get every even level and every odd level, as well as what you get at every single level. Okay, so what I'm going to start with is at every level. So at every level, you add your current level, which is 2 in the case of Baynor, and multiply that times 2 for HP. Okay, so Baynor had at before had 22 hit points. 2 times 2 is 4, so adding 4 to that 22 brings his hit points now to 26. We're going to add another point of endeavor here. Okay. So that's going to turn into 10. Okay. And now what we're going to do is go over down to our dice roller here. We're going to roll a D100 or a percentile dice, and we need to roll a 20% or under. Now, what that's going to do is if we manage to roll a 20% or under, that's going to allow us to get the chance for Baynor to get a new ability. Okay. This might be an ability, as far as for the sake of roleplay, this might be an ability that Baynor has already had. He is an established warrior. This is something that he's done before. We can suspend disbelief and say Baynor has been trained with this ability before. It's not until now, as a player, that you're having this be revealed. So let's go ahead and roll those dice here, section, and we have an 18. Awesome. An 18. So Beynur is definitely eligible to get a brand new special ability. Okay. And this is at every level. So he could possibly have a lot of extra new things here for himself. All right. You know what I didn't do? I didn't put the powers thing here. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go over to the PDF for Rising Legends here and open that up. And this is just a sample one here. And we have, I want to say we have some, but you know what? We don't have them here. It's not here. I'm sorry. We're going to go over to the development table. You guys are going to see some special stuff going on right here. You'll see some of my development stuff here. Okay. So right here in this area, we got the skills list here, but we got special abilities. Now this could be physical, mental, superpowers, okay? I can roll this any way you want, as far as this is concerned. So what you can do, this is a physical, mental, and then superpowers. So you can roll a one die four and decide what kind of powers that's going to be. So actually that's what I'll go ahead and do here. I'm going to clear this out and then I'm going to roll a D4. If it's a three or four, it's going to go into the superhero section. One or two will be the other one. So let's roll that here. And it's a four. So Beynur is going to get a superpower or special ability here. All right. And this is not a completed list here of superpowers. Just again, once Rising Legends is officially released, there's going to be a bigger list of abilities and powers here that's going to be available to you all as players. And this is just only going to get bigger. And it'll have a section showing individually what these powers are so that you'll have a clear view or a clear definition of what each of these abilities does as well. Okay. So we know he's going to get a superpower. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and roll a D100 again. So we're going to click over, going to zoom in here and clear that out. D100 plus a D10. I'm going to throw that dice there and see what it comes up with. We have 46. So 46% is imperceptibility. What is imperceptibility? I wrote that in here for a reason. We're going to write that in, imperceptibility. We don't know yet what that is. And I'm just going to roll with the punches here. So, imperceptibility is a new power that Beynur has received. Notice that the wording here is different. Okay. We're just gonna leave that there. All right. So now even every level where his move goes up to 2/2. So now he could take two actions every turn. So that action pool is added there. We're going to add an additional SFX point. So that number is now two. Okay. And we will add one to, it says add one aptitude skill. Okay, so one aptitude skill. So we're going to find another aptitude skill. So we're going to go back to that list here. At the top here, we have the skills list. So again, this is going to continue the building capability of what you can do for your character. Okay. So we have acrobatics. Let's see, what does Bando currently have? So we have martial arts, bladed weapons, plus two, battle tactician, okay, which means battle tactician, he automatically gets initiative versus villain or versus an enemy. He has athletics. So what is something else that we want Beynor to have in order to continue building up his character? One of the things I do like acrobatics, but we have deception, deciphering, entrepreneur, foraging, gathering. Again, this is a list of skills that is going to be expanded as we go. Let's see here. Illustration, insight, intimidation. Now, as a warrior, he does not have intimidation. So, in fact, I think what I'm going to do is I like that intimidation. So we're going to go intimidation here. And that is a talent-based skill. Okay. Based on that here, right here says cognition. That is not intimidation is not cognition. That's going to be talent-based because that takes some charisma. So that's going to be a talent-based skill here. All right. Going to leave that here like so. Okay. All right. So right now, Beynor is leveled up to level two. So now, in order for Beynor to level up again, he needs to go through again leveling is done through milestones in Rising Legends. So he needs to accomplish two things in the game in order to level up, two milestones, two things that are very important to the story. Okay. So in order to do that again, he's going to need to meet two of those, and then he'll get to the third level. If he wants to level again, he'll need to meet three. The next time, four, five, so on and so forth. Okay. So that's how the leveling aspect works in Rising Legends. I know this is already going on for quite some time. I appreciate you guys for sticking around. Let's get back moving into the game. So now that he's leveled up to two, Beynor now is outside of the small town, and he's kind of now looking around and wanting to find another lead. He hasn't really gotten anything. He's gotten some information that he saw the last time. He noticed there was a red cobra against a black background on a ring that he was wearing. And that's something he wants to kind of consider and continue moving forward with, because that could be a lead towards something that he needs in order to continue forward in finding Mayor Arneson. Okay. So let's see here. So we're going to, that was what he found on Dallas Ford's on his ring finger. So what he's going to do, he's going to do a little bit more investigation, do a little bit more searching to find out what to find out if he can get more information on what that is. All right. And what I'm going to do is, this is fun, I'm going to roll a talent check right now. He's going to go into, he's before he leaves the bar, he goes over to the barkeep and asks the barkeep for a piece of paper and, you know, any kind of paint or something that he has. And actually, he asked the barkeep, oh, hey, have you seen this symbol before? So he gives him the piece of paper and he sets it down and he's starting to scribble this down, what he remembered seeing from Mr. Ford. And what I'm going to do is we're going to go ahead and roll a talent check here. So again, per preview, level two. So we first roll a D4 to determine our CS score or complexity score. Okay. So that's a three. So three times three is nine. So You'll need to roll. So we're going to roll a D20 and roll a 9 or higher in order to succeed. And we rolled an 18. So Baynor sits down with the paint. He says, well, let me see what you got. So Baynor takes the paper, he sets it down, and he starts scribbling with the paint, with a pencil or a pen, and when he takes the paint, he draws exactly what he sees, and then he sees the picture of the red cobra against the black background. And the barkeep looks closely at it and thinks for a moment. And what I'm going to do here is we're going to roll D100 to see if the bartender recognizes it. All right. I'm going to roll, and that's a maybe. So that's a possibility type of thing. Okay. So we roll a 36. So based on the table here, it's a maybe. So he might know about it. And he looks at it and he sees it. He goes, it looks familiar, but I can't quite place my finger on it. The best thing you're gonna do is you're gonna need to probably travel outside of town. This town is too small to get into things like this. You're gonna need to travel elsewhere and go into a bigger town to possibly get the answers that you're looking for. I'm sorry I couldn't help, but the only place I can think of possibly going is somewhere, either outside in the Color Plains or Lake Sharia, or the town outside of Lake Zaan. That might be somewhere you want to go. So if you go over to our map here, we see Lake Zaan is right here. The town is right here. I don't have my pencil map here, which is what I probably need to put up here. So there is a town called Zaan right here, okay, that is connected to the Calais Desert. Okay, so where he is at now is in a town called Ganlin. Okay, so he can either go to Lake Zaan or Tyndall. Okay, so right now, Baynor takes the information. So, okay, well, I'll do what I gotta do. Is there any transport, horses, or anything that I can use to get to where I need to go? He goes, yeah, there's actually a transport that's leaving over to Tyndall in about 15 minutes if you want to head over there. So great. Whereabouts is this located? He goes, oh, you go down the street a little bit, hang a right, and the port will be over there, and the transport will take you over. Thank you. So he goes over and he heads down the street, walks out of the bar, and right before he looks, he takes another glance over at Mr. Ford up on that top level. And he just kind of gives him a glare and continues out. Mr. Ford doesn't even notice him glaring at him. He continues out. He goes down the stairs. I'm not the stairs, goes down the street and towards the transport area. And, as always, we got to find out if there's a situation going on. Why? Because it adds to the spice of life. Right? We got to find out if there's something going on. So we're going to roll here to see if there's an encounter of some sort. All right. And always in the possibly era. Okay. Area. So we're going to go ahead and throw that. And a one. It's an extreme yes. It's an extreme yes. Okay. So going over to my trusty. So I have a paper version of the tables that I have here, but since we're here online, I can go ahead and pull that up for you guys here, which is what I'm going to do, is the action table. So you see that here for solo play. I'm working on having one solid table that can be used for everything that you're doing in your solo play. Here, all right. So right now, we need to figure out what is going on, what kind of event is happening here. Okay. So we can either roll on the action table or we can roll on the event table. All right. So what I want to do is actually I want to go on the action table here. So there are five rolls, 10 each, We're going to roll a D100 and split that in half, whatever that number is. Even if it's over 100, we'll subtract that and make that the number here, okay? So we're going to go back to deal here. We're going to clear that out, roll a D100, and hopefully it meets that. If not, we'll bring that out. So we have a 13. Okay, so it's definitely on the list. So on the action table, you have a 13 here. So 10 to 3 is reunite. If you go here, and 3 is marry. All right. So what I'm going to do is reunite. I'll go ahead and stick with reunite. So with that being said, as he's making his way down to the port where everything is, where he's going to take his transport station. He hears a bunch of commotion, and going down the way, he sees seems like a little family that's there, and some people are kind of gathered around. So it's kind of a bit of a hubbub of what's going on. And as Baynor approaches, he's kind of looking a bit puzzled, and you know, more people from the town are gathering around, trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. Who is this? What the deal is? Okay. And so it will be 20 here in this area. So there's a reuniting, right? And we're gonna roll that D20. And we got an 11. Pilgrims. So pilgrims, travelers, religious travelers have come back to town, and these are people who are very popular, okay? And as he approaches, the people are kind of gathering around, and I'm like, what's going on? So Baynor kind of asks one of the people that's going on and says, hey, what's going on here? He goes, oh, the pilgrims have returned. The missionaries have returned, and we've waited for them for so long. We've waited for them for so long, and they finally returned. Like, who are these people that you're talking about? What missionaries? What? He goes, oh, these are the great missionaries of Kong. Kong is life. He's glory, and we've been waiting for them, waiting for their arrival for so long. So he, Baynor, kind of steps back for a moment. Kong, what is Kong? Well, Kong is the great god of riches and life, fire and ice and darkness. He just kind of looks at the guy kind of strange and looks at him. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Baynor roll a cognition check, okay? And kind of to get the vibe of what's going on, kind of like an insight, what type of deal is going on with these people here. So again, we're going to roll a D4 to get what the difficulty is that he needs to roll. So again, 3 times 3 is 9, so 9 or higher. So we're going to roll that D20. See if we get that 15. So he looks around and kind of sees everybody, and he sees that they're kind of clamming around. It's almost like this strange pandemonium. And as this big giant hovercraft comes, it's like a hover bus. It's kind of rolling into town, and the doors open, and two people walk out. Both of them dressed very pristine, dressed in big robes, with a tabard on that has a big giant K, a nice cursive, like nice ornate looking K on their chest. And the robes are black and red and white. And they are very well dressed and everything. And they come out, they put their hands up, and everybody starts now clapping and is cheering and hollering. It's like, oh, we've returned. And one of the townspeople runs up. Oh, missionaries of Kong, we have awaited your arrival for so long. He goes, and yes, and I see that you all have greeted us with such great hospitality. Kong will bless your generosity with everything that you have provided us. Please take us to your inn, and so that we may get refreshments. Our trip has been very long. He goes, right away, right away. So they're walking away, and some of the townspeople are taking them and having to walk towards the tavern where Bainur just was. This talking is distracting. And he takes him to the tavern where Bainur once was, and again, Bainur starts, where do these guys come from? And the guy's like, and the guy looks annoyed because he wants to follow them, but Bainur keeps stopping him. He's like, they come from higher. Higher. You mean the higher dudes? Like, yes. They're missionaries from higher. They're taking a long trip here and they've just made it here. We've been waiting their arrival for a while. But please, I've waited so long for this. I need Khan's blessing. And he just takes off. In the world? So Bainur thinks all of this is really strange. So Bainur again is going to see if he notices anything that's out of whack, off kilter. Okay. And so he's going to roll a four. So he needs to roll a 12 or higher. A 12 or higher on the D20 to see if there's anything out of the ordinary. We roll a one here. He notices absolutely nothing at all. He doesn't see anything. He just kind of sees these people as just religious fanatics, and the people are just as crazy. So he continues on and he sits and waits for the transport. And about 10, 15 minutes later, a transport rolls up and stops. And a man comes out of there, a short man, about 4.5 feet tall. And he looks up at him and goes, "Sir, you're here for the trans. You're here to do the transport to Tyndall." He goes, "Yes, I am." So it's great. "Well, I just had a long trip, so give me about 10, 15 minutes to recharge and get gassed up, and we'll be on our way. Oh, and by the way, that'll be 30 nari for the trip." 30 nari. Like, yes. So, I don't have any money or anything on me right now." "Well, in order to take the trip, you're gonna need 30 nari. This isn't public transportation, not free transport, buddy. You gotta come up with some money somewhere." "Is all. So, is there any way that I can possibly pay you back or anything that I can do? Because I'm new to the town and I actually have a very important mission to go on." "Look, buddy, we've all got important things that we've got to do. Doesn't mean just because you're important that I gotta just ignore everybody else's needs to go on. Because, well, I'm trying to do something. I'm trying to look for the mayor. The mayor has disappeared and they're trying to find her." "The mayor's disappeared, huh?" "Like, yes." "Doesn't seem like that's my problem, is it? You need to come up with the 30 nari or you can't take the trip. Like, please, sir, is there anything that I can do?" Thanks for a bit. So right now, what I'm gonna do, so he has a charm plus one. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna roll a Again, we're going to do a D4. Oopsie. I'm going to do D4. Come on. Gavin. We're going to take that D4. We're going to throw it, see what the difficulty is going to be. One. So it only needs to roll out. So this should be easy, right? So three or higher. Woo! Just barely with the four. All right. So he's like, "Well, don't know. I mean, you seem like you're telling the truth, like you do got something going on, and somebody needs to be taken, looked for, then perhaps they might be telling some kind of truth. Well, maybe if I can get your help with something." "What is it?" "Well, you seem like you're pretty buff, like you can handle yourself, huh?" "Yeah. Well, if you're headed over to Tyndall, we got a little bit of a situation. We got some people coming after me for some funds. I don't have the money right now. Business has been slow, and it's been extremely hard for me to get by. And I haven't gotten enough money to pay off my debts. If there's any way that you can possibly help me with that, and you agree to make sure that that happens, then Maybe I'll let you on. So you're telling me you'll take me over to Tyndall. I need to find these people and let them get you to relieve the debt off of your hands, and we're good. Just talk some sense to him. Maybe give him a decrease. That I don't know. Just settle the situation for me. That's something you think you can handle? And I'll throw this in for you. If you're able to do that for me, I'll take you anywhere you need to go in between the two, in between Ganlin and Tyndall, whenever you like. Baynor thinks it over for a moment. Well, first off, what kind of trouble did you get into? Eh? Said it's not your concern what trouble I got into or how I got. I just need these people off my back so an honest man like me can do my job and my work. So, what is it? Can you help me or not? Baynor is hesitant because honestly, he doesn't know what he's quite getting himself into, but desperately needs to get in there, so he decides, like, fine. Take me into Tyndall, find out what I can do to kind of help your situation. Yeah. When we get there to Tyndall, I'll give you all the information you need, and then you can get to work. Like I said, still need for 15 minutes, so I'll see you in another 15 minutes. In the meantime, I'm gonna grab myself something to eat. See you in a few. So Beanor climbs up into the transport, kind of slings his stuff over, and he sits down and starts to begin contemplating and thinking about everything that's been going on. He saw these missionaries of Kong. He's thinking about where possibly the mayor has gone and what the symbol means. And so he decides that he's probably going to ask the person who runs the transport when he gets back to see if he knows who and what is on the drawing that he has of the scorpion, what that means. All right, so about 15 minutes passes. So 15 minutes passes, and finally the person comes back on the bus. The driver of the transport returns to the transport. He's like, "All right, so we all ready to go?" And Baynor looks over and goes, "Yeah, I'm about ready. I have a question for you though." And Baynor gets up and he approaches him and goes, "I wanted to ask you if you've seen anything like this before." And he pulls out the drawing and he shows it to him of the cobra. But we don't know if he knows. So we're gonna do the 100 and 10 and throw it. And we're gonna see in this possibly here. He looks at it though and he's like, "I can't say that I know anything about that. I mean, it looks a little menacing, but I've never seen anything like that before in my life. Somebody in town does." "Yeah, you're probably right." Beno holds it and puts it back inside of his armor. Walks back to his seat, a little defeated, and then finally he sits down. A few moments later, the transport roars on and gets ready to go on its way, heading over to, oops, we're going to see here on the map here, headed over to Tyndall. So again, he came from the town of Ganlin, and he's headed over to the small town of Tyndall. Now, Tyndall, Ganlin is a wrestle inside the Kaladar range. Tyndall is a little bit bigger of a town. It's more of like a city. Whereas Ganlin is more of a town or a village, not a village, more like a town, a big town. Whereas Tyndall is a small city, so there's going to be a lot more going on. So he's heading over there, and the ride there takes about 2 hours. Actually, it takes him quite a bit of time to get over there. So with the possibility happening there, we're going to go ahead and roll the possibility of roll the dice here and see if we can get some possible encounters over there. So like I said, 2 hours, what we're going to do is going to roll an encounter two times, roll the dice two times to get to see if anything happens on the way. Okay. So we're gonna throw that there. And we got 25%. So that is a yes. Okay. So 10 to 30, landing at 25, that is a yes. All right. So as they're driving down the way, the ride is going pretty smooth. The driver is kind of singing to himself, singing out loud, kind of making everything up and up. He's kind of a cheerful guy. And he's singing. And finally, something in the road makes him stop. He stops. And then we're going to roll a D20, throw that. And what happens is this gigantic beast is in the middle of the road. And it stops and he swerves the bus and everybody on the transport along with Bader's kind of yanked over and flies over. He's like, you know, sorry, everybody. Oh my God, that's a big beast in the road. And this now stopping in front of this gigantic spider here. Let me bring that down. Small, huge. Stopping down here in the middle of the road is this gigantic spider and the person who's doing the transport swerves and stops, and you see the spider like kind of goes off and it looks like it's ready to attack the caravan here. So immediately Baynor jumps up and it's like, hey, and he turns around and looks at Baynor, and Baynor's like, don't worry, I got it. Make sure you keep everyone safe. But Baynor runs out. He opens the door, so it open. He goes out front and he goes in and goes to take on the spider here. Okay. So we're going to bring Benur here to the front here. Make sure you adjust that. Bring the front. Adjust that token here. Here and Baynor comes out here and takes on this gigantic spider. So now, generally at this point, we know we're going to go straight into battle. Generally, at this point, you would roll initiative, but because Baynor has, let's see here, he's battle tactician. Okay, battle tactician automatically grants you first initiative, so he's always going to go first. And his combat prowess allows him that as well. Okay. So with that being said, we will start with our battle here. It's gonna go first. So Baynor comes outside and he runs out and he pulls out his mask and he pulls out his sword and he immediately charges the spider ready to go as it's take kind of blocking the path. And he comes in and he swings it and he goes in for a strike with his first action. He does two actions on his turn. So what he's going to do, he's going to just go in headlong with his long sword with the attack here. Now, with this combat prowess, he already has one to his damage. He has plus two to bladed weapons. Okay. And so we are going to get it in with some battle going on. So he has 3 points already. Okay. 3 points of damage. Again, when you have pluses next to each of these skills, bladed weapons plus two and combat prowess plus one, you will add those numbers to your damage as well. It applies to both the roll itself and the damage. All right. So all these creatures right now so this creature has a complexity score of four. So he needs to roll a starting out with a 12 or higher. Okay. But because we already have 3 points already in, Vaynor is only going to need to roll a 9 or higher in order to make a hit here. So we're going to go down to the dice roller here, click on the dice tray, grab that 20, and we're going to roll and throw that down. So we're going to do two dice, okay? So Vaynor needs to get a 9 in order to hit, and he needs to beat the other dice as well. Okay, so the first or the other dice, which is the opponent. Okay, so the first dice is Beinor. The second dice is the spider. Okay, so I'm going to throw both of those dice there. The first one is a natural 20, and the second one is a 9. Beinor comes straight out, runs in, grabs that natural 20, and comes in. And just gives a huge slice straight across the eye to the giant spider that's blocking the path, and he is like, "Wow, okay." Doing a natural 20, that is max damage times 2, okay, and plus 1, so gets an extra point of damage plus 1 along with that. So the damage here is 1d6. Plus 4, so 1d6 plus 4 is 10. Okay, so that's the max damage. Multiply that by 2, that's 20. He does 21 points of damage along with the 3 that he did here. So, and because of his skills and his skills with his bladed weapons and his combat prowess, so that 21 turns into a 24 points of damage to the spider. The spider. Was done. Beinor goes back again with another strike. Goes in with another strike and throws that one more time. And so with the 5 again, adding Beinor's extra 3 to the roll. Because we know he needed to roll a 6 or higher, or a 9 or higher. Okay, so a 9 or higher. So adding the 3 to the roll, that brings him down to 8. So he misses completely with that hit. Okay, so he misses, and he's kind of the spider's reeling back, and he hits him with the first one. It reels back, and he goes again for the second one, but he misses because the spider's kind of reeling, and it moves its leg just in time to miss. The second hit from Beinor. Right now, this spider's already looking kind of messed up. Beinor really, for 24 points of damage, he really did some damage to the spider. So now it's the spider's turn. At this point, since one of its eyes are kind of messed up, the spider now is going to try to hit Beinor. And again, it needs to hit against Beinor as well. It has no special abilities, no extra anything. So these are going to be raw rolls. And it needs to hit Beinor 4. So getting a throw again. An 8. Or actually a 10 to an 8. And it misses Beinor completely. The spider comes down and he tries to swing, but he misses. And the spider goes again to try to shoot like a web at Beinor. And again, Beinor kind of ducks just in time, and he sees this web liquid come out of his mouth. Does it, and he turns and misses. He turns around and he dodges it just in time. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and roll some percentage dice right now to see if it hits the bus behind him. And I'm going to say, because he's fighting directly in front of it, in front of the bus there, I'm going to go with a likely possibility. He's right there. This thing is shooting. I'm going to go possibly, actually. It's hitting wild. We're going to go ahead and shoot that. And what's that say here? We got a 98. So it doesn't hit it at all. With the possibly, it hit an 80 or higher is no. Even with the likely 90 and 98, it doesn't hit. So he wouldn't hit. So it just flies straight off. He misses in the webbing, completely misses the spider. Beinor turns around and he looks back at the bus, at the driver, goes, "Get this bus around. I'm gonna keep it distracted." He goes, "All right, Just make sure you don't leave me. The guy turns on the bus, transport. He starts getting it moving. Baynor continues around. So the bus moves its way around, kind of driving wildly, taking the opportunity to drive around and turns here, and then finally turns in the other direction here and stops right here, off a little bit of the distance, giving Baynor more room to fight this beast here. Baynor decides to take his action to move around to another side to try to lob, try to attack its legs, something. So he does half his move there. And we're going to do, I'm sorry, hyper reflexes. Hyper reflexes. I just realized, I'm sorry. Hyper reflexes, battle tactician, those are the two that allow. Hyper reflexes allows you to do, anyway, ignore him. So he turns around here and he goes again for the attack here. Okay. So again, Baynor needs to roll a 20 or higher against this beast. Again, minus three or 12 or higher. So minus three. Again, he needs to roll a nine or higher because of his skills. First dice is Baynor, 17 and 12. Again, definitely hits. And then to roll damage for that, we're going to roll 1d6 plus and add four to that. So we throw that. So five. Wow, took out of that. That's terrible. Rope. So 3 plus 4 is 7 points of damage. So that brings that over to 30. Baynor again goes in for another strike and attack against the spider. He's just trying to take this thing down, get it out as quickly as possible. And he rolls a two. A two in Rising Legends is an automatic failure. Kind of going along in the frenzy, Baynor makes a swing and doesn't keep a grip on it and chucks his sword across the way past the spider. So now the spider lands down and he lands the sword somewhere over in this area. And it lands somewhere in the grass. Baynor runs. Now it's kind of stuck where he's at. The spider now is comes back down on the ground and looks over. And now that is the spider's turn, charges at Baynor for an attack. Okay, so again, back to the dice roller. Here, 2d20. Again, he needs to roll and roll higher. And Baynor with a nine and a two for the spider. A two is an automatic fail. So as it comes down and tries to snap and bite at Baynor, Baynor dodges right out, just he dodges right out the way and he pretty much gets out of the way of that spider there. Again, he tries to hit him again. Legs and ooh, with an 18. So with an 18, Baynor tries to roll and get away, but he comes down and he bites down and actually strikes Baynor in his armor here. So now with his heavy armor, actually, yeah, he hits him no matter what because that heavy armor gives him a plus three to defense. So with that said, the monster does 2d6 damage, and we throw that to Baynor, and he takes. So there's 9 points of damage. So 9 minus 3 because of the heavy armor. He does 6 points of damage to Baynor. Okay. 6 points of damage. All right. All right. So now Baynor has no weapon. He can't do anything right now. Now he does have martial arts, so I think I'm gonna try something. That's gonna be cool. I wanna try it. So Baynor now is kind of desperate. If he runs across and tries to run around the monsters, the possibility that he could swipe at him. He wants to try to do as much damage as he can. So Baynor is going to use his athletics. And we're going to use, yeah, we're going to do his athletics here. Okay. So first we're going to roll athletics, and what he's going to do is he's going to climb on top of this spider, and he wants to try to hit him on the way over to try to grab his sword. So he's going to use half move to roll up and climb. So we're first going to roll athletics to see if he can make the climb. Okay. So again, D20, again, that's going to be 12. Okay. And since his athletics is there, it's going to be an athletics roll. So, and that since the athletics, it's physicality or talent. What I'm going to do, since it's 12, I'm going to go ahead and take a point of, so we're going to take a point of talent here, which will turn that 12 into an 11. We're going to take 2 points of a physicality. Okay. I take 2 points of that physicality, and then so that's going to bring our 12 down to a 9. Okay. So let's go over here to the D20, and we're going to roll a 9 or higher. Let's throw that, see what we come up with. We got a 12. Perfect. And it would have been dead on if I didn't even use that pool, but I want to do that anyway. So he successfully accomplishes the climb on top of the spider, half move to get up, the rest of the move to climb. And now he's going to go in for his second action for the attack using his martial arts skill. All right. So again, that 12 is going to knock that down with the 2 here. He's got a martial arts plus 2. Okay. So that 12 turns into a 10 that he needs to roll. So throwing that. And he rolls a 3. He misses completely. But that and that one and that one hits, and that one, the spider gets a 1. So because the spider rolled a 1 and it is a critical miss, what happens is as he's climbing up and Baynor hits, he misses, but Baynor steps on one of the eyes and kind of irritates him and kind of throws Baynor off of him. Off of him towards the direction where he's going. What we're going to do is I'm going to roll an athletics check to see if Baynor makes that throw there. Again, we're looking at 11, and he doesn't. He hits the ground hard. He does not land on his feet. So Baynor's chucked over this way. Okay. And Baynor is going to take a type of fall damage here. We're going to go 1d8 and throw that. We're going to take this, so 8 max damage, but we're going to take that 3 kind of softens the blow a little bit. So Baynor takes 5 points of damage. All right. So he does that. The spider now is kind of reeling, turns around. He looks over at Baynor. He looks back over at the bust and sees that it's there, kind of waiting. And now the spider is going to go over to towards the bus. Spider reaches up with its legs. It takes the bus there and starts. It grabs the bus in the air. Now we're gonna roll. I'm gonna roll a percentage dice to see if it accomplishes this. It's gonna be. I'm gonna make this. Unfortunately, it's gonna have to be likely. Okay, So I'm gonna go ahead and throw that. And with a five. Oh yeah, most definitely. So 5%, most definitely. This guy takes the bus, the transport, he grabs it, he brings it high into the air, and that is going to end the move there. Baynor searches frantically around for his sword. We're going to roll another D100 to see if he sees it. I'm going to make that a possibility, possibly, here in the table row. Ooh, 6% makes that a definite yes. So Baynor looks over and as he gets up, he sees a sword gleaming there in the grass. He sees the gleam and he immediately grabs for it and then gets up and starts running back into the direction of the bus where he's at. So Baynor moves a, so here's where the movement kind of matters. He moves 5 hexes of 30 feet. So one, three, four, and five. So right here, he'll get right here in front there. Grabs that, and Baynor goes in for an attack. This is kind of a desperate situation. So Baynor is going to use a point of his endeavor down from a 9 to an 8. Okay. Again, adding in his bladed weapons and his combat prowess skill. I brought that down from a 12 to a 9. Now that brings that down to an 8 using Endeavor. So we're going to go here to the dice roller. Oops. Dice tray, D20. It's 2 and throw. Most definitely hits that 12. He goes in and comes out and flee and slices again up, taking on one of its back legs, giving it some damage. We're gonna roll that damage, which is a 1d6 and add 4 to that. Yes, it's got another 10 points of damage to this spider. At this point, the spider's like, ow. And its legs comes down and it drops the bus or the drops the transport, bam, on its side. And now the transport are no longer on its wheels as it is, it's on its side right now. So this was kind of incapacitated, but the people are safe. You see the people inside scrambling and screaming to get out. The driver inside is like, everybody stay calm. Stay where you are. And everybody's just screaming freaking the heck out. And so now, because the, let me see. So Baynor, that exhausts his move. It's back to the spider one more time. Now, the spider's going to need to roll twice for disadvantage. The spider's injured. It's looking really rough right now, extremely rough. And it's going to roll two separate times. So let's take a look here. 18. So again, since he has a disadvantage, so Baynor has a 16. We're gonna roll one more dice, and that will be for the spider. He's gonna take the lowest of the two. So I'm gonna roll this again for the spider. Oh yeah, it takes that 4. So he goes to turn to roll to attack Baynor. Baynor kind of ducks and dodges out of the way. And now again, the spider tries to shoot his web over at Baynor. He's going to throw again, but with disadvantage because of sight there. Okay, so Baynor's got a 5. So we're going to clear. I'm going to throw that one more time to see if he. Oh! Okay, so no matter what, he hits, but he does not get the natural 20. So he hits Baynor, sits him where he is. He's stuck right where he is. Or he gets hit with the there. So what actually, what we're going to do We're going to clear that. We're going to do 1d6, throw that. 4, and the heavy armor knocks of 3 knocks that down to a 1. So Baynor takes a point of damage. But now what we're going to do is we're going to roll a pure physicality roll. Baynor needs to roll, make a physicality roll of 12 or higher to see if he gets his avoids being stuck. If he fails this roll, that means Baynor is incapacitated and won't be able to move. He'll be spending his turn trying to get out of the webbing. So we're going to see first if he gets caught. See, get that 12 or higher. 18, baby. So 18. So Baynor gets hit and it doesn't stick. He sees a certain stick and he moves it right off just in time. And finally, Baynor runs up again and twists his sword around and starts screaming. He's all, and goes in, tries to go in for another hit here. Throw. Yep, definitely goes in and hits here. Baynor hits for 1. We're going to clear that out, get that D6 damage plus 4. All right. So 4 plus 4, that's 8 points of damage. Now this thing is looking hurt. It's down. It's done. It's on the ground now. This thing is not, it's barely moving. It's still alive. But now Baynor kind of stops for a moment. He looks at the spider. He's all, and he looks back at the people that are screaming and scrambling. He's like, and now he makes a decision. Is Baynor going to stop and kill this spider? Or is he going to run over and help? This spider is on its last leg. It looks like it's not going to move anymore. It's not going to go anywhere. But it's a possibility. I personally don't know what Baynor is going to do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave it to the Oracle. We're going to make this a possibly type of situation here. So we're going to go to 110, and we're going to make that call. So we roll that, and the result is a 94. So he does not leave the spider. He goes in for another attack. So 9. All right, this is a 5 here. Again, adding his martial art, adding his bladed weapons, bringing that to a 7. Plus his combat prowess, an 8. He does not make the roll. He does not make the roll. He misses. And he misses the spider just right there. As he kind of, the spider jerks and kind of moves out the way. Now I'm thinking he's right there in his face. It's point blank. What I'm going to do is I'm going to roll again with advantage. So I'm going to make another roll because he has the advantage. This spider's knocked down. So I'm going to roll another d20 for Baynor. So 6 plus 3 or 6 plus 2 is 8 plus 1 is 9. So yes, now he hits the spider. Clear. We're going to roll d6 and add 4 to it. And 10 points of damage. At 58 points of damage, this spider is completely done. Baynor goes in, sees it laying on the ground. He swirls his sword and it down straight through the eyes. It brings it back out. The blood, the blade is dripping with blood. And he shakes it off. He goes, "You won't be messing with us anymore." He turns around. And he goes back and he runs back toward the bus. Runs back toward the transport. Keep saying bus instead of transport. He runs over to the transport here. And the people are kind of freaking out. So it's on its side. So he goes inside. He climbs up. He goes inside. How does this thing run? Does this thing have hovering? I've noticed it has hovering capabilities. Is there any way that you can use the momentum somehow. So, well, you know, well, the bus doesn't have electromagnetic properties here. Maybe if we shock the bus or something and get it moving somehow, I don't know. So, well, can you, I don't know, can you shock the bus? Can you get it to zap itself alive or something? Or somebody goes, I'm not sure. So Beynor is going to look around on the bus to see if there's any emergency consoles. Yes, is there any emergency consoles on the bus? So there is. So the guy goes over and he pushes a button. And these buttons pop up. These buttons come out. And there is an emergency button there. He goes, well, this looks like a good emergency to any, right? So sure does. And the driver hits it. Bam. He hits the button. And suddenly the bus glows, and the magnetic the electromagnetism on the bottom of the bus glows a bright light, and it's kind of electromagnetic like shield kind of surrounds the bus and brings it on and kind of makes it float into the air, and then it lands, but then completely powers down. So everyone on the bus is now freaking out again. Everyone's kind of getting back, and the bus driver turns around. Yeah, please calm down, calm down. We need everyone to stay calm. Please get into your seats. We're gonna have this matter taken care of as soon as possible, okay? Just be patient with us. We're gonna get you there, Kendall. Promise you. So finally Beynor looks at the driver, like, looks like we're gonna be out here for a while. This looks to be so. Like, well, is there any manual controls? Is there any manual controls or anything that we can use to get this thing going? He looks over and the driver's like, I don't know. And he goes under and he looks around more, and he looks more in the emergency console, and he feels around for any type of manual or something that is in the bus. So I'm gonna go ahead and make a check to see, and I'm gonna make this a possibility roll. We're gonna throw that and see if there's a manual of some sort that is in the bus. At a 92, there is no manual in here. He's been left in the lurch. This is an older bus that are older transport, so he does feel something and he pulls it out, but the papers are in tattered shapes with, and this is what he could only assume is the manual. So now Beynor looks around. He's like, let me see what else is there. He looks around, and the guy's looking around as well. He goes, oh, what about these? And he looks over and sees and notices that there are throw. Good. So with a possibly, well, or maybe he sees there are some controls there in the middle of the console, and he presses the button on the emergency console one more time. And as he does this, the wheel, or what looks to be the wheel, the orb controls actually turn into a wheel, and then some other gauges and things pop up on the console. He's all, what is this? He goes, huh. Looks like this is the manual. This is the manual operation. Have you drawn it manually before? So I've only been trained to do how this is here. So it turns around. He turns around. Beynor turns around then and looks at the people in the bus. He goes, anyone here know how to drive a transport vehicle manually? So, being the fact, I mean, anything is possible. I don't like to always use unlikely, so I'm gonna stick with possibly here. Oops, here with the roll, we're gonna roll that and see if there's anyone that knows how to drive this thing. Possibly, it's a maybe. All right, so with a maybe, a person looks at it and he goes, I can take a look at it. He's all, come on up here. So this man gets up. He's kind of like an elderly gentleman. He walks over. He looks over and he examines the instruments and everything, and he's looking through it. And about 10 minutes later, he looks again, and again with the possibly degree, he's all, I can't tell, maybe this is something. He goes, give me a few minutes. And he looks around some more and kind of looks at it and looks below. He doesn't see anything. And then finally he sees it. He's all, okay. So now, as you guys can see, I rolled three times and it all landed in the maybe. So with the maybes, if you're rolling three times, that turns into like a very close no, but or very close to maybe, but it's like the highest part of yes that you can get. So this does succeed. So he looks at it and he's all, I could give it a shot, maybe, or maybe perhaps I could coach you through it. My old bones can't drive like they used to. He's all, and he look and Baynor looks at the driver and goes, you think you're up for it? He goes, of course, I'm gonna try. I'm gonna do everything I can to get these guys to Tyndall, especially you. Baynor's like, yeah, I'm sure you will. They get into the seat. And now the man starts instructing the bus driver to on what he needs to do here. So again, we're going to throw another percentage here. So again, with possibility, I'm going to throw it. And maybe. So he shoots it again. And the engine starts revving up. It doesn't quite make it. He tries it again for a second time. The engine starts up. He's like, I get there. Goes, I've never heard that sound before. Yeah, it sounds kind of aggressive. Baynor responds. He's all, well, okay. What next? So, well, the old man kind of responds, well, all right, so now you need to find those two pedals down there. One is the gas system, and the other is the braking mechanism. So you need to place your feet on those and drive them accordingly and make sure you keep the wheel straight, going to where we need to go. Be steady now. You know, at any time, this thing could go. Since the system is damaged, it's very sensitive. So, all right. So the bus driver continues forward, and now we're going to make it likely because now we're starting to get somewhere. Still a possibility it could fail, but we're going to do that. So he's going to drive the bus now, and he goes through. And with a maybe, he kind of stalls and stutters and sputters, but he's going. It's going very, very slow. It's on the throes of shutting down. And everybody on the bus is like jerking, like, oh God. Like, you know, like when you're driving stick for the first time and you get that. That's what's going on with these right now. So after a few moments, he goes again, likely, and does it. And at 69%, maybe he's still going. And now it's a little bit more difficult. The bus driver's not getting a hold of this. He's all, hey, easy now, easy, easy, easy. Come on, take your time, go slow, don't force it. Just take your time. He's all, okay, sorry. So then one more time, throw it again. And at 77%, again, maybe he's kind of starting to go at it, but he's again that jerking the rest of the trip, he's going through and jerking. So for the first 30 minutes, they're driving, finally driving the transport towards Tyndall, slightly damaged. They leave the spider in the middle of the road and take off down the road here. Let me bring Baynor back up here. So they go down the road and make their way to Tyndall. So after another 30 minutes, we're going to make another roll to see how everything is going. See if it gets better over time. 64%. The ride is still rough. He's running through and he continues forward. But finally, after some time, another 30 minutes passes. Nothing happens. Nothing is going on. I'm not going to roll for another encounter because this is already an encounter as it is. And at 47%, still maybe a little bit better. He the bus is still really jerky, really damaged. But after a while, you see it's now start, it finally start to pull into Tyndall. And everybody, now you're starting to see people on the road seeing this vehicle that's been, damaged by the road and this encounter that they've had. And people are kind of looking at the bus all weird and seeing these weird wheels that are on it now all of a sudden, and they're driving into town, jerking and going back and forth. And all the people inside, people that look in the bus see the people inside are terrified. And they continue on until finally they reach the transport station, and they hear but there's a and the thing clatters and sputters off right there just in time as they get to the transport, and you hear and the guy stands up, the bus driver stands up. Well, everybody, time to disembark. Thank you for riding. Sorry about the difficulties today. Is everyone okay? He goes, don't you think you should call authorities? So, yeah, that's probably a good idea. Everybody stop. Bus and we'll gather. We'll call some anybody needs some medical assistance? If you do, we'll gather and get somebody here immediately for you. So, all right. And so Benur now tries to kind of act slick and tries to go off. And he's like, hey. Looks back and sees the man and goes, don't think I forgot about our deal. You did good out there. This is especially the reason why now you need to help me. I saw the way you handled that spider out there. You're going to be great for the job. Baynor's kind of like, and so now Baynor is stuck and has to get there. But now he's arrived in Ganlan. Arrived in Tyndall, which is the town here or the city here, and we got some more things going on. So I'm going to stop the campaign here for today, and next week I will return to do the rest of the to do the rest of the campaign here. So let me go ahead and stop this. So I thank you guys for bearing with me, being patient with me during that. You guys got to see the process of how I did this, how I do this on Miro. Of course, when I'm doing, I'm a little nervous. So when I'm doing it online, it's one thing if I'm, recording, than when I'm playing by myself, it is a lot smoother because it's just me. But if this is something that you like and you want to continue seeing this again, let me know in the comments below if you've made it through to the end of this video. And but if not, and if you want to continue seeing the old school way of me doing things with the top down, let me know that as well. If you have any other suggestions as well that'll make these campaigns a lot quicker, a lot funner, or anything like that, also let me know in the comments below. Also, too, to let you know, once this campaign is over and I'm sampling helping you guys with mechanics of Rising Legends, I will be expanding off into other game systems, solo gaming systems that I'll be trying out here and running those as well. So it's not just solely the Rising Legends system. I'm going to be this channel. I'm going to be trying out all kinds of solo play systems and tabletop games and stuff like that that I think you guys will enjoy and have fun taking a part of down the line. So, anyways, I appreciate you guys so much for coming out and hanging out and watching the campaign today. And I will see you guys next week. All right. So you guys take care of yourselves and each other. Have a good one.